Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What I'm worried about now, though, is reconnecting with an old buddy. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. When you think of guys who you enjoyed talking to over the years, who you enjoyed dealing with, who are just heck of a nice guy, he's on right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Travis Hafner, welcome back to the show. Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. When you refer to me as an old friend, are you saying we've known each other for a while or that I'm getting very old?
Yes.
Both.
Yes.
Tom Withers is in for Andy Baskin today. So there
we
go.
Tom, how are you?
Travis, good to hear you, man. I will say this, and I don't want to embarrass him, but on the Mount Rushmore of good guys that I've
there
dealt
he is.
With in Cleveland, Pronk would not be on there. No, I'm just kidding. Of course he is. I think the last time he and I saw him on the before the first pitch postseason, I think was the last time I saw you, Travis. So glad to have you on.
It's good to be here. Good to catch up.
Before we get to the opener and the team, can I bring up an obscure reference? All of this stuff with the torpedo bats and everything else that's going on right now made me think when Dan said Travis is going to join us this week, I thought, I remember the article in Sports Illustrated where they had a picture of you with an old wooden bat that you used to pick up and hit stones with, like fungos, to work on your swing, and that thing was shredded. That thing was shredded. So bat doesn't really matter, does it? It's all about the swing.
Yeah, that was the first torpedo bat. I purposely hit him at the end so that I'd have a bigger barrel.
How'd that work? Is that bat still in existence anywhere?
I would guess that it's out on the farm in a garage somewhere.
That's great.
Hey, since the Yankees have slowed down a little bit, though, Travis, I'm just curious.
One of your former teams.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the torpedo bat? I mean, is this here for now, or is this a gimmick? Is this something that's going to get guys even thinking more about, you know, ways to manipulate within the rules?
It is interesting. I haven't really seen one other than just on TV, but actually my two oldest sons, they like this YouTube guy, Bat Bros, and he does like these, he compares bats. He'll go out and hit bats and stuff, and he got a torpedo bat and compared it with wood bats, and they were essentially kind of the same exit velocities and things like that. So I don't think that it's like, it just looks different, but I don't think it's going to be like a ton of difference in performance or things like that. And, you know, guys kind of have been making their own models for a while. Like some guys like thicker handles and, you know, a little bit smaller barrel for more control. And like I swung like a very thin handle with the bigger barrel, pretty end loaded. So I don't think it's going to be a ton difference. And, you know, some guys may like it a little bit better, but, you know, I don't see it being like this huge advantage where if you are not really a good hitter, all of a sudden you become an all-star type player.
Travis Hafner joining us. Obviously, the torpedo bat meets the rules guidelines from Major League Baseball. Travis, without doctoring bats, and I'm sure you saw that over your career where guys would actually, you know, doctor bats and make them illegal. What was the type of stuff that guys would do with a regular wood bat rather than, you know, once you got it, once a player got it, rather than just manufacture, like you said, you had a thinner handle and a, you know, more at the end of the bat. What would guys do to their bats to kind of give them an advantage, at least for what they thought was an advantage?
Well, so, I mean, this would probably explain a lot now that you've known me, but what I used to do is, like, if we get a dozen bats, like, I would kind of hold them a certain way and hit them against my head, and then the higher pitch sound was the bats that I would use. So, like, out of a, you know, if you get a dozen bats, makes you'd sense. Have four of them that are, like, a higher pitch, and you'd be like, for whatever reason, someone told me, like, that's the best wood. So those would be my four gamers, and the other eight would be BP. And then kind of the other thing that I saw guys do, and I don't know if there's any benefit to this at all, but they would kind of, I don't even know how to describe this. They would like kind of like rub the bat up and down against the table or some type of surface. They would call it like boning the bat or something like that. But allegedly that made it like a little bit harder or something.
Sealed up the pores in the bat or something like that. Wasn't that it? In the wood?
Yeah, I don't know. I just enjoy hitting myself in the head. That seemed to be more productive.
which doesn't really catch any of us by surprise.
I know. That's why I said that. Probably explained a few things, too.
Travis, being opening day here in Cleveland, it's a Sykeston, North Dakota kind of morning. It's 31 degrees and has a lot of us reminiscing back to that 2007 opener. In the snow, I was wondering your reflections of that day. Anything stand out to you?
It is interesting because, like, I always love home openers. They're a holiday in Cleveland. The home openers were always great, but if people ask me, like, opening day memories, like, I always go to that one where Paul Byrd was, like, one out, but maybe one strike away.
Yeah, he was. Right?
One strike away from a no-hitter. And I don't know, like that season was so strange the way that it started, getting snowed out a couple days and then playing in Milwaukee. And, you know, for whatever reason, that kind of helped, I guess, like set the tone for the rest of the year. Like, you know, we'll play anywhere. We're the toughest team around, you know, just stuff like that. So it actually kind of worked out in a good way. But definitely that snow game was pretty unique.
I saw some pictures too. You guys played in your vests of all things on opening day when it was 35 degrees out. You would play anywhere.
Yeah. Yep. We did have undershirts on though.
Thank goodness. Travis Hafner joining us, former Indians first baseman. At first base now you have Carlos Santana. And the organization traded away Josh Naylor, who put up big numbers last year. Travis Santana comes in, who's been here two other times, and Manzardo on his way. I would think I'm really glad to see that Manzardo's getting at bats. I was a little fearful that Carlos might get in the way, even though you want Carlos swinging the bat, that he might get in the way of at-bats for Kyle Manzardo. What have you seen about Manzardo that makes you think, like him as a hitter, want to see him do this? What?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a really good track record of producing in the minor leagues. He controls the strike zone pretty well. Like, he forces pitchers to throw him strikes to hit, which is a huge key for any power hitter. And, you know, he's got a nice swing. He's pretty comfortable, like, pulling the baseball for power. And, you know, he seems like one of those guys that could hit, you know, 30 home runs down the road and walk quite a bit and hit for a good average and, you know, be your middle of the order RBI guy.
Every time I see him hit, Travis, he reminds me, I want to say, oh, nice hit, old chap. You know, he's got this swing out of like the 1940s or something, the real quick set of the bat. And he gets to the ball real, real quick. Combine that with the old school mustache, man. He's like got 1940 written all over him.
Yeah, he does. And that, you know, the kind of like the two-handed follow through, it is unique. And now that you mentioned that, it is a little old school.
Travis, when it's only 9 games in and there's a couple guys that they're struggling a little bit, you know, John Kenzie Noel among them, as a player, when you're going through a rough patch, and especially early at the year, how difficult is it to kind of, you know, stick to the process? And I know that's what you guys really harp on, but how challenging can that be when, you know, you come up to the plate and it says you're betting 147 on the scoreboard and you're, you know, you want to get it going, and sometimes much easier said than done.
Yeah, it's really difficult. I remember one of my very first years getting off to a really slow start, and we were playing the White Sox, and I was talking to Frank Thomas at first base by it, and he's like, man, this AL Central's tough. Like, with the weather, you just try to get out of April hitting 200. And I was like, that's not exactly the best start.
But, hey, this is Frank Thomas.
Yeah.
but it kind of provided a little bit of perspective. Like, it's not easy to hit in the cold. But, you know, everything is magnified at the beginning. You just kind of got to have confidence that you're going to hit. Like, it's, you know, confidence is the main thing a hitter needs to have. Just belief in yourself. Even, you know, it sucks when you look out there and you're hitting like 160. But yeah. you just gotta like, you know, whatever's happened to that point doesn't matter. And you just got to focus on your events.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That day.
Hey, since you brought up the AL Central and you spent enough time in the AL Central, the old adage used to be here in Cleveland, well, you know, at least the Indians or the Guardians play in the AL Central. And those days have changed. I'm just wondering your thoughts in general on the balance and the competitiveness in this division right now.
Yeah, I think last year kind of really changed the tide a little bit. It was kind of viewed as one of the weaker divisions. And, you know, last year you had Kansas City and Detroit both making it and having like very good showings in the playoffs. So to get 3 AL Central teams in there, and, you know, Minnesota is always tough. Who am I missing?
Royals, White Sox.
Oh, the White Sox.
Yep.
Yeah, the White Sox are, you know, rebuilding. But to have 3 or 4 really good teams in there, it makes it for a very competitive division. And they've done, you know, it's also not the unbalanced schedule anymore. So it's a balanced schedule. Everybody plays everybody. So it's not like you're, you know, in the past they would say you're beating up on the AL Central playing 19 games against those teams. But, you know, those days are done. So, you know, it's turned into a pretty good division.
Travis Hafner joining us, former Indians first baseman. We talked about this earlier, Travis, and yesterday as well. But the idea in today's day and age that if you're a starting hitter, if you see a starting pitcher 3 times in a game, it's that doesn't happen very often. How difficult is that? You know, we all say it's difficult. You were there. You were standing in the batter's box. How difficult is it over the course of a game to maybe see 4 different pitchers?
Well, it does kind of take away one of my like favorite parts of the game is when, you know, you're 0-for-2 off a starting pitcher, or you're 2-for-2, and it's just, you know, what adjustments are going to be made? How are they going to attack me differently? Are they going to do the same stuff if they've had success? So you kind of lose that part of the game, which I really like, the chess match and, you know, starting pitchers having 4 different pitches and mixing it up. But you really got to do your homework and be familiar with the arms that you're going to be seeing. Like, guys in the dugout have to be talking. So you kind of, I mean, nowadays, like, they have analytics, so you kind of know how their ball's going to move and spin rates and things like that. But, you know, it's a different look all the time. So you can't really get comfortable. So it is more challenging on hitters.
Hey, I always wonder, did you ever get 2 seats out of Pronkville? Were you able to extract a couple of seats out of there?
I would hope so.
That's a good question.
I think there's some still sitting around down there. You might be able to get your hands on them.
Yeah, they're green
since
ones.
Since they pulled them all out, right? Yeah.
I feel like I might have, but if I did, I don't know where they're at. Does that sound bad to say?
No. Totally understandable. Hey, I was wondering, since are you coaching baseball now? And I was wondering, did you pass down some of that Pronk power to the boys?
I do coach. I coach a 10U team, and then I help out a 13U team, and then I help coach middle school and high school. So if we occasionally get like a Sunday evening off, that's like doing pretty well. but yeah, like the boys are all into it. I got three boys, and they all play, and they all love the game. So just trying to make it fun, and you know, I enjoy being out there working with them and just kind of watching them develop. Actually, my two oldest are first baseman, left-handed pitchers, and they really enjoy pitching. But, you know, it's fun. It's kind of like a good way to hang out with the boys, just, you know, going into the cage and hitting and talking shop.
Good for you, man.
Are they left-handed hitters?
My youngest and my oldest are left-handed hitters. My youngest is amazing. He's 9, and he just constantly has a smile on his face when he plays. Just no feel of like what's going on in the game at all. Like if I bring him into pitch with bases loaded up by one, he's just got the biggest smile on his face. He's like, I get to pitch, you know, so he's fun to watch. And it's actually like a great mentality for baseball of just kind of like,
no doubt,
you know, not caring too much about the moment. Like obviously you want to do well, but like for him, the moment definitely is not too big.
That's awesome. You won't remember this. You once told me you can't wait until you're coaching your kids, and you said, we're going to have so much fun and we're going to be awful. And I thought, there's no way you're going to let your kids be on an awful baseball team. And if you're coaching them up, they're not going to be awful. Are they okay? Are your teams competitive?
Yeah, I mean, we do talk about that. So it is interesting you bring that up. But initially, like, I think my thoughts was, we're just going to have fun. We're going to do home run derby. The kids are going to love the game. Like, I'm not going to be throwing, you know, a 10-year-old 100 pitches to try to win games. So, like, we rotated kids all around and, you know, hit different spots in the order and, you know, kind of do stuff like that and have fun and have fun practices. But we ended up getting, like, some pretty good players. So, the team that's now 15U, they've been going for 6 years, and they're a really good team. And The younger ones, like, they do pretty well too. I mean, they're around 500, I think, this year, but we're on a little bit of a hot streak with the 10U team.
So you've recruited. Nice job.
Yeah, exactly. Sign some free agents.
A little NIL money early. Hey,
I'm going to have to bring you on as a GM.
I'm in. Let's do it. I'm ready to go. Great to have you with us, buddy. We appreciate your time today, and best of luck all season long for your kids.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Always good to be on the show. Take care, guys.
Thanks, right. Travis.
Travis Hafner joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.